Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 274.
This week on the podcast, is it better to be a shithole or an asshole? Or is it in fact the same? An in-depth discussion.
And Hawaii experienced World War III all alone this week, thanks to men with buttons.
Kentucky's newest money-saving endeavor is literally just to kill poor people.
And two convicted felons announced runs for the U.S. Senate this week.
Plus, even with his cool sunglasses, Joe Biden still wants you to just get off his lawn.
And we've got some legal advice for the next Stormy Daniels, because there will be one.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
You know who can't find us on the web? People in Puerto Rico who don't have fucking power.
I was like, wait, where is this going all of a sudden? I'm like, what?
Liz Warren went there, though, with a delegation on Friday.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound great.
It really doesn't sound great. Got a personalized email from her, my email inbox.
As you
today.
Would, yes, as we all would. Did.
Uh-huh. Right.
She sat down and wrote all of America a personalized email about her experiences there.
Uh-huh. It's not great.
It's not a great situation. Could we maybe make it their Valentine's Day gift to give them power?
We wanted to give it to them for
Easter gift?
Yeah.
Can we develop a new gift-giving holiday that's tomorrow right. so that they can have some fucking power there?
Yeah.
This is... It's mid-January, you guys.
Right.
I know it feels fast. The holidays just happened.
Yeah.
It's already mid-January. And Puerto Rico,
yeah.
whole swaths of it,
yeah.
unable to listen to Brain Trust Live because they are lacking power.
And that's right. And one of the problems that she pointed out, which I feel like I guess I probably on some level knew was what was going on, but like it's really upsetting as well because they're basically, to get the power back on, they're basically just rebuilding their power grid,
right.
which is garbage.
Yeah.
So they're not doing what they should be doing, or we're not doing what we should be doing for them, because we should be upgrading
Correct.
Their power grid,
not
as opposed
rebuilding
to
rebuilding a
just
shitty power grid,
trying to patchwork,
fell apart,
the trash one
because it was
they
shitty.
Currently have
yeah
right exactly.
infrastructure, one of
so,
Trump's favorite things, except
right.
in the case of Puerto Rico and the rest
right.
of America
and everywhere.
Right.
right.
Also, a quick follow up from our last podcast.
Yeah. We recorded the last one on Tuesday, and it was the day of the Genius Open meeting.
Oh my God.
Meeting
the
that
reality
he had.
Show meeting that Donald Trump held
yeah.
on immigration. I
exactly.
mean, on immigration reform.
Right.
Yeah.
And we told you about how it was hilarious because, you know, Trump mostly. Immigration is probably the thing that he comes closest to understanding.
Right.
Now, he's still a long way
right.
off. So he still makes some accidental mistakes on it.
Yeah.
And one of them was, as we told you, accidentally agreeing to wanting a clean DACA bill.
Right.
Which suggested in the room by Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
Right.
He's made this mistake a couple times.
Yeah. So they released on Wednesday the official transcript of this meeting, which was on television, guys,
right.
by the way.
It was
you were able
again,
to watch it with your eyeballs.
It was an
and
open
listen to it
meeting
with your ears.
For the benefit of the press. For
right,
one
exactly.
hour, the press was just allowed to watch a meeting
yeah.
unfurl. And then they released a transcript of that well-documented meeting.
Right.
Sort
of. Without Trump's agreement to Feinstein's suggestion of a clean DACA bill.
Which is interesting because that was the only interesting part of the meeting.
Right.
So, of course, everyone immediately looked for it.
Right. So, the media was like, hey, guys over there,
yeah.
White House, newsflash. And they were like, oh, yeah. So they put it back in and then they re-released it. But they were literally just hoping that no one was going to notice that they scrubbed the thing of the most, as you said, the only interesting thing that happened during that.
For that whole hour. That was the aside from Trump saying, I hope we've given you enough material to the press as they walked out. That was the only interesting thing that happened.
Did also, we give you enough edit points?
Right. exactly. We told you also last week that Dianne Feinstein, as we recorded the podcast, had basically just released the Fusion GPS testimony that was before the Senate. So Trump gave her a new nickname. So now we have a new nickname in our
right.
in our category.
Right.
Our
and
catalog.
I was just giving him props for...
No, this
for,
is so disappointing.
What was it? I don't even remember
it was
now, at this
point. Sneaky Steve or something?
Sneaky Steve. Oh, he just used the same one. Or was it Sneaky Steve?
I don't know.
I don't even know what it was. Who knows? But it was for Steve Bannon, and it finally at least had some alliteration. So I was congratulating him for being the branding genius
right.
that he's always claimed to be.
Right.
But Sneaky Dianne, that's not it.
Couldn't be dumber. Crooked Hillary, Sneaky Dianne. These are
right?
just random words that he's strewn in front of
Dirty
women's
Dianne.
Names. Dirty Dianne. Yeah, that's...
More alliteration. It
implies that she's been up to something sneaky.
Sneaky, yeah.
I mean,
invokes a Michael Jackson song that everybody loves. I mean...
Yeah, it's that easy, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, don't you know any branding geniuses from your career as a Hollywood star?
Right.
I mean, I would maybe say star with a grain of salt,
sure.
but
yeah.
as a Hollywood person,
yeah.
I know people that work in branding, and I work in the periphery of Hollywood, basically, so
right. yeah.
surely you know somebody.
Yeah.
In any case, the big news story of the week, as I'm sure you all heard, was Trump referring to a bunch of countries as shithole countries, those including Haiti, El Salvador, a bunch of African countries. He was holding a bipartisan meeting to talk to senators about the immigration DACA deal. P.S. Before we go on, I just want to say that I was right and everyone was wrong.
Yeah.
And that Donald Trump did exactly what I said he was going to do, because it was the exact same thing he did after meeting with Chuck and Nancy the first time last year, where he said, yes, we want to have a immigration reform and I'll give you DACA in exchange for border security.
That's right.
And then he went back on it and said, by border security, I mean only the wall.
Right.
He did the exact same thing this time. And no one said when he did it this time, no one was like, you know what he's going to do.
Right.
Except for me. Except for Lila Nordstrom, who was hitting the pavement telling everyone that Donald Trump was going to say border security means the wall.
And yet,
no one caught the news, didn't report it. No one said anything. They all acted like this was new information. And lo and behold, what did he do this week?
Yeah. Sent out a tweet storm on Friday, which we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
In any case, sorry. I just had to make sure everyone knew how right I had been before we moved on to the shithole countries discussion.
No, it's important. It's important.
He said, why are we having all these people from shithole countries come here as part of the immigration discussion?
Right. So, and then this is my favorite part of the story, actually, because like the shithole thing was obviously the big news story there. And it also led to some of my other favorite part of the story, which was Wolf Blitzer saying S-hole a million times on air.
Oh my God. Brent made me watch it before we recorded. It's amazing because it's keeps saying, I don't want to say the word.
I'm not going to say the word.
S-hole
countries.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? And he just was doing it.
Well, most media sources try not to curse unless it is it provides important context to the story.
Right.
I would say in this situation where the president used this language, that it was in fact an important thing to be able to say shithole on television.
Yes, this is the second time this has happened, because we all had to decide whether we were going to be saying pussy on television once before too. So
I would contend we're probably going to keep running into it, so we should probably just get on board.
Right, but do yourself a favor. There's montages of it. Wolf Blitzer saying S-hole.
And then saying, I'm not going to say it. S-hole.
Hilarious. And also I hate Wolf Blitzer.
Everyone hates Wolf Blitzer.
The worst. He's so terrible. So back to my first favorite part of the story before I got sidetracked is he said that we should be having more people from Norway come here. And a lot of people immediately reported that as an additional racist part of this story. And I'm not denying that
it certainly was.
Isn't, because it certainly was, because Norway is a country that is filled with white people.
Right.
However, the reason that he said Norway
might not
have been as apparent, at least in the moment. But the reason that he said Norway is because he had literally just met with the prime minister of Norway, the day before.
It was the only country you could think of.
It wasn't that he was thinking of, like,
where are the whitest people?
Right,
there's a million countries filled with white people.
Nefarious thoughts. I mean, he was, because he's always having nefarious thoughts. But he literally, it was like the one country of all the countries on Earth that he had in his brain at the moment. Much like, sort of like, if you can be the last person to have talked to him, Norway was the last country to have talked to him.
Yeah.
So that's what he knew that Norway was a country, and he knew that it had white people, and that was it.
Yeah, he was like, what's a European country? I can only think of one at the moment.
Right,
and it was I'll just go with Norway because I met with him yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
It was a combination of racism and idiocy.
That's right.
Which is kind of how he lives his life. His life is sort of a combination of racism and idiocy.
It's too amazing. Yeah.
But he also, he wants you to know, he can't be racist, Brent, because he's fine with Asian people coming.
Yes, right. Because they're good for the economy.
Yeah, they're good for the economy. He just doesn't want anyone from South America or Africa coming.
Right. Also,
that's not racist, Brent, of course.
Right.
Not.
And going back to Norway really quick, newsflash, nobody from Norway wants to come here.
First of all, no one from Scandinavia broadly wants to come here.
Right.
Second of all, and I said this to Brent, if you're going to pick one of the Scandinavian countries to say as the pinnacle of people that we might want here, pick Denmark. They have a much better sense of humor in Denmark. Danish people are funnier than Norwegians.
Sure. All right. Fine.
I said it, you know?
Right.
I don't.
Well, you know what? That's racist. Are you calling Norway a shithole country? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's right. The country with the happiest people and the highest standard of living. What a shithole.
Right.
So in any case, The whole story led to a renewed discussion about whether or not Trump is racist.
I was so shocked at this because we had like a whole new thing where like Maxine Waters calls him a racist, and then actually Mia Love, who's a GOP she's in Congress, she said it was racist, and I was sort of shocked by that because a lot of Republicans were
won't call it racist.
And not only would they not call it racist, but they said that they don't recall him saying it in the meeting, like people who were there.
Well, this is a party that has tried to scrub his accidentally agreeing with Dianne Feinstein in an official account that was documented by every major news source.
And it also probably, you don't, if it wasn't a thing that struck you as a weird thing to say, then you would have maybe right. actually have no recollection
He's
of it.
He's probably so said it many
perhaps,
times.
Perhaps Tom Cotton is telling the truth that he doesn't recall Trump saying it, because Trump may have said it and Tom Cotton thought to himself, well, that seems like a reasonable thing yeah. to say. And then there's no reason notable. For you to file it away in your brain as right. like a notable event. Right, yeah. exactly.
He's yeah. probably said it to them hundreds of times.
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so we had a renewed discussion about whether or not Trump is racist, which I just want to put a rest to at the moment.
Yeah, yes.
He is.
Correct.
The answer is yes.
We have collectively decided as a people that he is. We don't need to have...
We don't need to discuss it anymore.
It's not a...
When he says right. we should discuss what's problematic about calling any country a shithole country.
Correct.
And that includes the fact that it was overtly racist.
But the reporting of the story... We should literally start with racist president Donald Trump yeah. called African nations shithole countries.
Yeah,
like we don't have to have
a
like
foregone conclusion.
We don't have to have a panel about it.
No, it's a foregone conclusion that Donald Trump is a racist. We should move on with that understanding from that point to discuss why it's a problematic story.
Correct.
We don't need to waste airtime wondering if he's racist. The
right.
answer is yes.
Right.
Brent and I just cleared it up for you. All of America had cleared it up for you, but you weren't
yeah,
listening.
We
which is it's it. Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. So
we've had
move
all
on with that understanding
right.
in
yes.
your brains.
Yeah.
In any case, Trump obviously couldn't stop himself from jumping into the conversation, which is where I just landed us when I opened the story with a conversation about how right I was.
Yes.
Because he basically used his tweet storm to demand that he would only sign DACA in exchange for the wall.
Yeah, because he said, he tweeted on Friday and he said, the language used by me at the DACA meeting was tough, but this was not the language used, so he's denying saying it, but
yeah.
whatever. He said, what was really tough was the outlandish proposal made. A big setback for DACA. Now, let's quickly tell you what the deal he's talking about is.
Yeah.
Because basically the reason for this meeting was so a bipartisan group of senators could come to him and say, we have a deal of something that we can probably pass, and you can sign it if you
yeah.
like. And it has both protections for DACA, and it also has increased border security.
Right.
And then, no.
No.
He doesn't want it. That's what his, what did he call it again? Sorry, he called it a... outlandish proposal. That's
yeah.
the outlandish proposal.
The
he's
one that he
about.
Agreed to when he met with Chuck and Nancy the first time.
That's right.
And then backed out of.
Yes.
Correct. Here's what I want to say to the Senate right now, just before we move any further. Don't
right.
tell him what you're up to. Just send him the bill.
Yeah,
he
right.
doesn't know better than to not sign it. And if he doesn't sign it, then it's on him.
Yes.
Don't
exactly.
let yourselves get pulled down by this idiot.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a proposal that is truly bipartisan that you think could pass the Senate, that you think is a good deal for both sides and saves DACA recipients that everyone in America wants to save, there is
yeah.
no community of
well,
people who is broadly anti-giving
yeah.
amnesty to DACA recipients
well,
in some
and
way.
And that is why I think they actually might.
Yeah.
Just because...
I think they should.
Because if
to
it's going
cover
to...
cover their ass.
Right, exactly. Because they're going to have to cover their ass, because what's going to happen is that the Democrats are threatening a government shutdown. And while I think the Republicans would hope that that would get blamed on the Democrats, because technically they were the ones that, you know, caused it, if you want to get down to sort of like brass tacks of it.
Right.
But like, they... If it's... If the reason that the Democrats shut down the government
was to protect
was so,
fucking little
children
American children...
Who were brought here, you know,
as
through
as
no...
Babies,
right,
yeah.
babies, and through no choice of their own, who are... you know, adding to the economy when, you know,
yeah.
90% of the country thinks that they should get to stay, including, and all of these, you know, people in the Senate and the House are going to hope to keep their jobs in 2018.
Yeah.
It would behoove them all, I feel like, to just send it to them and let, you know,
yeah.
see what happens.
Yeah. No, if once it's passed the House and the Senate, the hard part's over. Then somebody just needs to speak to Donald Trump right before the signing, and
right.
he will sign it.
Yes.
There is no world in which Donald Trump can't be inceptioned
right.
into signing
somebody,
any bill.
Right. Tell him that he would get... This is a good press deal
yeah.
right here.
You're going to get great press for this. People
That's
are going to love you.
Yeah.
People will love you on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
Everyone will love you. Because 90% yep. of the fucking country wants DACA.
That's right.
Nobody is actually in favor of exporting, of kicking, of deporting DACA recipients.
Right.
No one.
Nobody.
Except for actual evil people. There is 10% of the country is flat out evil. We can't do anything
sure.
about that.
I mean,
but,
I made up that 90%.
No, I know, but I mean,
but
like,
regardless.
We're rolling
I mean,
with it. But I mean, like,
yeah,
a large majority of the country, I think
yeah.
it is in the 80s at least, like
That's
a large
high.
Majority of the country is in favor of
yeah.
making sure DACA recipients
right.
can
Even
stay.
Even evil people who voted for Donald Trump are not trying to necessarily, like,
no.
kick these people out of the country.
They're
right.
kids.
Yeah.
That's tiny baby children. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it's teenagers. And it's people who also employ people and provide important functions
right.
to our society. Like, I just,
right.
like, I can't with these people.
Yeah.
But in any case, my point is, what we don't need is to be talking to Donald Trump beforehand about anything and letting him have a say in it before it passes. Yeah. Just send him the bill.
Yeah, don't,
like,
have,
send
a,
him the
don't
check.
Have a meeting with him because he doesn't know what he thinks.
He doesn't know what he thinks.
But there was one more thing in this tweet storm that terrified me. So he was mad that the wall wasn't funded. He talked about people from the high crime countries again in this tweet storm. And he said that the Democrats would defund the government and shut down the military when we need it most. When that was in quotes. Yeah. When we need it most, the military. And like,
why do we need it the most,
guys,
right now?
What does that mean?
Why do we need it so badly?
I don't know. Maybe because of our next story, which is World War III happening in Hawaii.
Yeah. But it was like it was like an independent World War III.
It was independent, and it happened before this Hawaii thing happened. But like,
but also, the Hawaii thing was independent. There was no foreign power involved. It was just the U.S. government terrorizing the citizens of Hawaii.
That's exactly right. And, oh, my God. This was insane.
You guys. So on Saturday morning...
Yeah.
This emergency alert goes out to everyone in Hawaii that literally says, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill.
It wasn't a drill. It was a mistake.
But 38 minutes, the entire state of Hawaii is thinking they're about to die.
Yeah. Like, well, and you know, a lot of, and I can totally, well, of course you would, but you know, like, I don't know why it took so, it took 38 minutes for them to get the correction sent out to everyone. Some of the Hawaiian delegation, like Tulsi Gabbard, like tweeted literally like 5 minutes later and was like, guys, no. And then tweeted again a few minutes later and the governor was tweeting. But like, once you get an official notification on your phone that the world is about to end, like a tweet from Tulsi Gabbard is not making you change your, as much as I love her personally, like is not making you change your plans to like call your family and tell them that you love them.
Every
like
citizen of Hawaii was not looking at Twitter when this happened.
Well, right.
There are people in Hawaii who are over 70 and don't know how to operate Twitter. There's 5-year-olds in Hawaii. They weren't on Twitter. Like, you just can't send a whole thing out and then be like, well, Twitter said it was, you know.
And 38 minutes is a long time to freak the fuck out. I mean, it doesn't sound like a long time, but like.
No, it is a long time.
If you think for
think
that
long.
Think
how long an earthquake lasts.
Yes, exactly.
An earthquake that lasts a full minute feels like 10 years of earthquakes.
Yeah.
Like, remember that earthquake in Japan that caused the tsunami? It lasted a full minute. And if you sit for a full minute, because I think at the time I challenged myself to do it, and think about being in an earthquake for 60 whole seconds, it's like a fucking lifetime.
Well, I don't know why you did that. That sounds...
Well, I just wanted to know how long a minute was, because I read in an article that you should do that. But 38 minutes.
Sure.
That's longer than half an hour where you are trying, you're waiting in cover, hoping that you don't die in a ballistic missile attack.
Yeah, I know. Well, and people that's like, and Hawaii wild. Is sort of, well, it also really, like, it played into
a fear that
pre-existing fears that they have already, and specifically even just lately because of
North Korea.
And they have, in the last year, been really, like, stepping up. Like, trying to get people sort of, like, aware of what to do, but they're obviously not there yet because it was just panic. And there's never a way to get there. No. Like, you're never going to have an orderly sort of, you know, line
missile
of
attack
people to get, like,
scenario.
You know, out of it. Right, exactly. No. But, like, you know, so this is a thing that, like, everybody on the islands have been worried about.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and also, this is flat out being terrorized by your own government.
Yes.
Like, no wonder people aren't fucking trusting the government. Like, I was comparing it to Brent, to those, airport fake shootings that happened in LAX and JFK, where for like 20 minutes everyone flipped the fuck out because people were like clapping too loud for Usain Bolt or something.
Right,
but
so
that
was
just
right.
Those were misunderstandings that were playing into fears that we already had about terrorism.
Right. Yeah,
and but those people described coming out of that feeling like they had been through a mass shooting. No matter the fact that there were no bullets flying didn't matter because they were forced to react for an extended period of time as if they were in that scenario. And that's
it doesn't matter whether you actually went through the thing. If you felt like you went through the thing, you went through the thing.
Exactly. But to put an entire state through something like this over some kind of dumb misunderstanding of technology and to not have the sort of ability to correct it immediately is wild to think about.
Right, because it was supposedly the governor of Hawaii said it was a mistake made during a standard procedure at the changeover of a shift and an employee pushed the wrong button.
Why
it was
is it only one button?
It sounds questionable.
Stopping every cell phone in Hawaii from receiving
an
imminent, you know, ballistic missile attack
notification.
It seems
like one random employee at some agency shouldn't be able to be doing that.
No. And I realize they would want to act fast in the case of learning this information, but I also feel like maybe there should be a second button.
Yeah. But like,
so people, if you lean on the button by accident,
the
entire state of Hawaii doesn't spend 38 minutes flipping the fuck out.
Yeah. But like, they were showing people, there's videos of like people like running out of classes, like at the University of Hawaii. There's like a video of like people like speeding down the highways and running red lights, and people hiding in storm drains, people like lifting manhole covers to go into the sewers.
As somebody who has been in a true emergency on this scale, I can tell you that it is chaotic and terrifying, and you think you know what you do, you would do in that situation, but you don't.
No, I can't imagine, and like, I don't think any of these people are ridiculous for any of the choices that they made, because
there has got to be something in place so that the government can't accidentally send you this warning.
Yeah.
Just
and certainly not have it take 40 minutes for them to realize that they did it and get a correction.
That is its own kind of psychological warfare. Because these people just experienced a war, basically. And because it didn't actually happen, we're all going to be like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Like with those airport attacks, everyone was just like, oh, too bad. But it was like, what is causing everyone to be so fucking scared that someone clapping for Usain Bolt could cause an entire airport to go into pandemonium thinking there's an active shooter?
Yeah.
Like, that seems, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But also, you'd be terrified if that's what was happening.
Yeah, of course.
And like, we should make sure that we don't accidentally cause, like, I understand those were accidents caused by everyone's terror caused by Donald Trump ultimately being unpredictable.
Right.
This should not be how we're living our lives. We should be in a place where citizens of Hawaii don't have to worry that this could be real.
Right.
Which we're not. Exactly. So unfortunately, that's...
Also, if you're wondering where Trump was... Actually, you're probably not. Because you were probably guessing that he was golfing, and...
That's correct. He didn't find out about the whole situation until 7 minutes after they'd resolved it. Because he didn't want to get off the golf course.
Busy.
Yeah.
Had on his golf kit, golf face.
It's executive time.
Right?
My dad and I have just been using executive time to mean naps.
I love that.
Recently.
Did we talk about his golf face last week on the podcast?
I can't remember. I think we did. Well, we talked about it at least.
Oh, I couldn't remember if we did. Because we talked about the book. We talked about his golf face or not.
Yeah, his golf face is his grumpy face. They call that his golf face.
That's so what anytime all his he's grumping. In the White House.
Say that he has his golf face on.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Also, if he's so grumpy golfing, why does he do it so much?
Right? Well, that's what golf is.
Get a hobby
you
enjoy. Well, of course. Golf is so boring that I can't even. And also, the fact that Donald Trump can play it this frequently just plays into every pre-existing notion I had about how little athleticism it involves. Right. I want Donald Trump to take up a sport.
But did you see that he's in great health, though?
I certainly did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it, but I certainly saw it.
Right. From a man who eats McDonald's,
I was gonna
just
say,
so he won't be poisoned. He can't...
You show me a picture of a man who looks like Donald Trump, and I will show you a man who has high cholesterol. Regardless... of the, like, there is no world in which his, like, slightly patchy, sort of, like, reddish, jaundicey skin and, like, general rotundness and, like, ill-fitting suits doesn't equal a man who has, like, poor nutrition and high cholesterol.
That's right.
Like, he could have a heart attack at any moment.
Yeah.
In any case, the Trump administration is setting a precedent for new kinds of cruel and senseless what is essentially state violence towards poor people.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And this is literally a plan that will kill poor people.
Yeah. They gave their first, they allowed Kentucky. Basically, Kentucky is now becoming the first state which the Trump administration had to sort of like issue a waiver for them to do to require Medicaid recipients to be working to get coverage.
Nuts. Crazy town. If you think, like, who is on Medicaid? It's old people. It's disabled people. It's really, really poor people.
Correct.
Who I'm sure would love to work for money and food, but probably don't want to have to work for their health care. If they could do that, then they wouldn't need Medicaid.
Yeah.
They think it's going to save them lots of money. Why is that?
Right. Because people aren't going
to
be
able to get
around
Medicaid
anymore. Yeah. Right. Yes. Because, and they're not going to, there's going to be less people on the Medicaid rolls.
Yeah. Cause it's going to create a new bureaucratic hurdle to even getting Medicaid in the first place.
Exactly. And
not
also
to mention
once
an
you,
obstacle to
once
keeping
you're
it.
Denied coverage, like if you sort of like go, don't qualify any longer or don't get the paperwork, sort of like don't get through all the bureaucratic red tape, then you also can't apply for it for another 6 months too. So
that
you're just sort of like in the lurch for a while.
Crazy to impose that on your state as a cost. Because that is going to be a cost to the state.
Right.
Because people are then going to go back to the days of ER and personal bankruptcy.
That's right.
you know, the state's going to have to pay for ER visits for all these people when they couldn't get health care before their problem turned into, you know, death, cancer. And on top of that, those people are going to not be able to contribute to the economy because they're going to go bankrupt.
Right.
And then taxpayers are going to have to bail them out.
Right. They're like, also allowed to charge them for it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the opposite of Medicaid.
Correct.
Like, that is just healthcare.
That's right.
Those people are... And also, don't make them work and or pay for healthcare.
Right.
Like, Medicaid, I mean.
Yeah.
That, like, paying for a program that you can also be asked to work for seems crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are things where they can make you work and pay for the program, but if they can, that should be unacceptable because that's just actually just being a health insurer.
That's right.
Like, that's a private health insurance move. That's not state health insurance.
No.
But also, this is not... what the purpose of Medicaid is.
No.
This is the opposite of the purpose of Medicaid. And this, in no uncertain terms, I want to say, will cause poor people to die in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Not poor people to be less happy. Poor people to be less, you know, like just gallivanting in the joy of free things from the government. This is going to cause poor people to die.
Yeah. Well, and...
death to poor people is what this is.
And also, it's going to take away so many people's healthcare.
Yeah.
A lot of these people... a lot of states who are probably going to apply for this are probably states that
didn't expand Medicaid in the first place.
Did not expand it in the first place. And so now it's just going to be sort of like additionally impossible to.
Right.
But Kentucky was really one of the sort of superstars of the Obamacare world, basically. And, you know, their last governor accepted the money. They worked really hard to, like, set up their exchange. Like, theirs was working early in the game. And, like, they...
now,
like,
they're slowly trying to dismantle it.
Slashed their uninsured rate, like, in half, basically. So, obviously, some of these people are now going to... you know, these other states, people are just going to now find it additionally hard to get into the Medicaid game.
Yeah.
These people are going to be like, where the fuck did my Medicaid go?
And also... we've said this before, but this is a terrible strategy just politically.
It's a terrible strategy.
You don't take away something you gave to people when they've experienced the joy of having it.
Yeah, they are not that far removed, like literally 2 years removed, from having a Democratic governor who gave all of these people health insurance. So we can, they can certainly go back to that at any moment. I mean, not at any moment, but I mean, in the next election moment, they can. I mean,
this is a surefire way to turn a Republican safe haven like deep blue.
And you know, a lot of these poor people voted for this asshat.
Yeah. So, yeah, and have been voting for these. But that's it. When you're in a state where no one's giving you shit, then it's easy to become sort of like less engaged in the process.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's from Alabama about this, where I was like, why do people in Alabama put up with being in Alabama? And she was like, we're used to it. You know, like, we just are, we assume that it's not going to work out in our favor. And so we like know that that's the world we live in. And we have to, we assume that we're not going to get these things. You know, like these are all part built into our assumptions in living in Alabama.
Yeah.
If you are a state that started to give these things to people and then takes them away, you have to deal with the fact that people remember not having them and also remember having them and know which one was better.
Right.
But this Kentucky is not a state that, especially because the Senate Majority Leader is from there, I don't think it's a state that they should be wanting to mess with electorally this way.
No.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
This is a dumb idiot move.
That's exactly what it is.
Because you know what poor people, what Bren always says, as much as you can set up as many obstacles to voting as you could possibly hope to set up, you can't actually make it illegal for people to vote. And that includes poor people. You can make it difficult for poor people to vote, but motivated poor people will still vote.
Yeah. Once poor people are voting to attempt to save their own life,
then they'll figure out a way to do it.
They'll get it done.
So this is not a smart move just politically. I mean, in terms of humanity, it's just like pure evil.
Right.
Like, it's not a smart move because it's mean, but, like, it's also not a smart move politically.
Yeah.
Moving on. You guys, some very exciting election news from across the nation.
That's right.
To begin with, Chelsea Manning might run for Senate in Maryland.
What?
What is going on?
You guys.
What is Chelsea Manning's life?
What is her life?
It's
she moved directly to Maryland, which she calls her home state, from, you know, that... you know,
penitentiary.
Federal prison she was in Kansas or someplace terrible. Right. I think that's actually where it was. And now she's like, hey.
Maybe I'll run for Senate.
Maybe I'll just run for Senate.
Yeah. Because
that's a thing.
She would be challenging a sort of deep set, sort of Democrat, Cardin, Senator Cardin.
But he's almost, you know, Dianne Feinstein level old.
Yeah,
he's in his early hundreds.
Yeah.
So I say go
for it. Let's primary him.
Right?
We're in favor of all primaries, so, like, we're not the right people to ask right. about whether or not we think this is a good idea, because we always think it's a good
we
idea.
Always, yes.
But I especially think this is a good idea.
I do too. Yes.
Because I would actually like to see what Chelsea Manning can offer in terms of creating like an unusual conversation in a primary that really does show the Democrats to be sort of in league with the problem. Like, yes. I think Chelsea yes. Manning more than anyone can bring yes. a conversation up that shows that the trouble is not just Republicans, but that Democrats are complicit in everything. Yeah.
Well, she is a take no prisoners
yeah, she gives sort zero of fucks.
Characters. Yes, that's right. She gives zero fucks. And, you know, Ben Cardin is on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Right. So, you know, I think she forces his hand to sort of, you know, talk about some of the issues that she obviously is well spoken on and cares deeply about.
Right.
And yeah, I want to see a debate between Ben Cardin and Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
That's
I mean, even if he wins, it's sort of like, this is how,
but primaries, you know, help you find your center. Know, exactly. They help you find your political voice.
I know. Exactly.
That's, you and in a moment where Democrats are going to be asked to reach deep inside themselves and find right. something progressive to talk right. about. Having a primary with Chelsea Manning helps you figure yes. out where you can and can't.
We've said it a million times on this podcast. I mean, the way that the future of our party is currently being shaped is because of the presidential primary that we had.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a lot of people who wanted to sort of just, you know,
throw their hands up in the air and
you know, just give Hillary Clinton a scepter.
Coronate Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
And that was never a good idea. Even if she was going to win that primary, which she did, like there was just there
right.
was, like we have learned sort of who we are from that primary,
yeah.
and that is what primaries
are
do.
For.
So, God bless you, Chelsea yeah. Manning. Get it?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I'm
but
excited.
She also like it was reported like by like Red Maryland
I know.
Because like they had seen that like she had filed
because they're
with
conspiracy
like,
theorists,
right? Exactly. And so, but then so everybody was like trying to reach Chelsea Manning, and they like called her at her home, and she was like, we don't have a statement yet. We might be putting one out. All we have to say is like no comment, right? And so it was
right.
sort of like a very
it was an anticlimactic announcement.
It was like, well, maybe she's running for Senate.
Right.
Maybe she's just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Maybe,
she's
we
got
don't
an
know.
Exploratory committee
right.
formed.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll see what
we're
happens.
Pro
but
it.
We're pro it. We are also
Chelsea, if you are listening, which we assume you are.
yeah.
We say
do it.
Primaries are always a good idea.
Get it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Get in there.
Another primary that is a really
oh my
fucking
God.
Good
this
idea.
This is shaping up to be the most amazing primary in possibly world history. I don't know.
That's
like
right.
this could not
it could be.
Get more. This is, I yeah. am going to venture to say that
yeah.
even if Michelle Bachmann runs in Minnesota, and I do hope she does,
yes.
Michelle, if you're listening, that this, in terms of entertainment quality as a primary whole,
yes.
like she'll be personally entertaining, and as you
right.
know, I'm obsessed with her. But as a primary whole, this could give
yeah.
her a run for her money.
Arizona.
Jeff
is,
Flake seat, man.
Yeah, Jeff Flake seat. So before Flake even announced that he was going to retire, back when he was sort of like trying to do some reasonable talking about immigration
right.
and Trump was he was going after Trump, Kelly Ward, who is
a right wing wingnut.
She's a crazy person.
Yeah.
She ran to McCain's right in his 2016
right.
primary, announced that she was
gonna
running
primary.
Against Jeff
yeah.
Flake. She was gonna primary. And Donald
pursuing
Trump.
Pursuing that old Tea Party
right.
chestnut.
Yeah, exactly. And Donald Trump tweeted,
yeah.
so glad that Kelly Ward is running against Jeff Flake because it's... Jeff Flake is weak on borders and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, but she is like a known sort of like local crazy person. She is
she's
a former state legislature. She's not any longer, but she's just sort of like.
She's
you're...
like Trump. She has a cult-like following.
Right, exactly. She has a cult-like following for being like a person who's probably clinically insane.
Yeah.
So. She had announced already.
Right.
Then Flake announces that he
is
retiring. So then some other people...
Excitement boils over.
Probably think to themselves, well, I'm not in prison any longer.
Exactly.
Or don't have to go to prison
yeah.
if you're Joe Arpaio.
Yeah.
Because Joe Arpaio announced that he's running
oh
for Senate this week.
So this...
Yeah, that
to
Joe
clarify,
Arpaio.
To clarify, means that two similar brand wingnut crazy people are now primarying each other.
That's right.
With a third contestant...
Yeah.
Martha McSally, who is just like a mainline Republican.
Right. She's
also
the establishment person who Mitch McConnell was praying to.
She's like a
baby Jesus wins this primary.
She was like the first woman combat pilot
right.
in
she's
US
flying
history.
A vintage World War II plane over the state as part of her like big announcement.
Here's
sort
a
of
thing that I'm going to say.
Situation.
If we learned anything from Roy Moore, ridiculous stunts like that, such as riding your horse Sassy to the polls, such as flying a plane above Arizona in
yeah.
your announcement, generally don't pay off the way that you think they're going to.
Right.
But moving, but I mean, you know, Arizona is a state that loves a fighter pilot.
Sure, that's true. Yeah.
They.
If she crashes, she's set for life.
Exactly.
Because
if she can crash twice during it, then she's unstoppable.
She's done.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But this means that a three-way primary between two Tea Party lunatics and a generic Republican is in its formation.
If you're thinking to yourself, well, obviously Martha McSally is going to win.
Think
here.
Again, friends.
Think really hard.
We're
again.
Talking about Arizona
talking
Republicans.
About Arizona.
We're not
right.
talking about Arizona, the state of people. We're talking about the Republicans in Arizona.
That's right. Yes.
These people elected Joe Arpaio to be their sheriff.
That's right. Yes, they did.
He has held elected office there before.
They did a sort of like snap poll at the end of the week, and Martha McSally was winning, but you'll notice something if you can do some quick math while I review these numbers. She had 31%. Joe Arpaio had 29%, and Kelly Ward had 29%. And
they're all in the margin of error.
Right, they're all within the margin of error, and I can also tell you that 29 plus 25 is way more than 31.
Correct.
So that's what's going to be so exciting about this race. It's going to
see who drops out.
It's going to see who drops out, and also to see what Joe Arpaio and Kelly Ward what lengths they will go to solidify the absolutely like insane crazy person electorate.
Yeah,
because only one of them can sort of like exist.
I am excited to see them take each other down.
Yeah,
here's a new wrinkle also.
Yeah,
because John McCain is unfortunately
on his way to he's got aggressive brain cancer,
right,
which is tragic.
Yes, this is a man who survived 5 plane crashes, but not everyone can survive aggressive brain cancer.
Right,
if anyone can, it's him. But my point is that there is a chance that John McCain will not be able to serve out his term.
Right.
And should that chance take place...
Yes, because his term would go to 2022.
I think so, yeah.
Or yeah.
Because he just came in the last... So, in any case, should John McCain be forced to retire early?
Yes.
The governor of Arizona appoints somebody for the interim, but they are forced to hold an election to fill his seat for the remainder of his term.
And by Arizona law, it happens in the next
general election.
So, if, for whatever reason, prior to November, John McCain has to resign.
Right.
Or
retire, we'll call
retire,
it.
Retire, sure, yes. Then there will be two open Senate seats in Arizona.
Two.
A
state filled with crazy candidates just itching to run.
That's right. And also a state, we should remember, that Donald Trump won by 3.5 points with less than 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
Because, what's his name? Gary Johnson got like 4%, so nobody had a majority there. So this is going to be really
Arizona
fascinating.
Arizona is purpleizing with every moment more
and a lot of people have always thought that Arizona could
I think Arizona's going to be in play
blue.
By 2020.
I think it's absolutely going to be in play. But at least in terms of Senate, because I actually worked on one, my parents used to live there.
Right.
And I did some door knocking for somebody who was running for Senate there, who was like a reasonable enough candidate.
Right.
But like the Democrats have sort of like long not been really running anyone who probably had that great of a shot at winning.
Yeah.
And this year, for really the first time, probably at least as long as I can remember, they do.
Yeah.
So that is another thing that is worrisome because Kyrsten Sinema.
Right, who's a congressman there.
Right.
She's a congresswoman there.
Yeah, she represents parts of
Phoenix.
Parts of Phoenix and some of the Phoenix suburbs. And she has a fascinating life story. She was born a Mormon. She lived for a time when her parents fell on hard times financially at an abandoned gas station. She graduated from BYU when she was 18, and then she left the Mormon church. She was a Green candidate for a while. She worked
on Ralph Nader's campaign.
She ran herself as a Green candidate.
Right.
And then was ultimately elected as a Democrat to the state house there. She won an open seat in 2012 for Congress, which she held on to in a pretty dicey 2014 midterms. People really like her. She's moved further to the right than I want, but a lot of people sort of acknowledge that that's because she has had her eye on a statewide seat, probably, because
she's in the Blue Dog caucus.
But she is, people like her. She is apparently really good on the stump. She's a great campaigner. She's got over $5 million, which is a lot. Fourth quarter of last year, she raised almost $2 million.
Yeah. Well, she's been one of the people, when people talk about sort of like future Democratic national figures, she's often on that list.
Right.
So she's somebody who I think the Democrats in general have had their eye on because she comes from a purple state.
Right.
She sort of like has a backstory that kind of pulls right. from a lot of different things. I mean, they'd probably like to forget the Ralph Nader era, but whatever. Sure. She's not, you know, she's super moderate, so they're comfortable with her.
Right.
But she kind of has the potential to appeal to progressives because she offers this kind of idiosyncratic yeah. weird backstory about yeah. being a Green at one point.
Yeah.
But the Democrats have long been trying to position her as a future someone or other.
Right.
And this is a great opportunity to get her yeah. at a statewide seat. And
yeah, she could win a Senate seat against Joe Arpaio or Kelly Ward. She might be able to win it against...
Yeah, lunatic random person.
McSally. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to think that she won't be in this regardless of who she's running against.
Yeah.
But certainly, you've got to think that she is an early favorite to run against either of those two nuts. And either of those two nuts... If you're thinking to yourself, they can't win,
then
oh,
you're
they can.
Thinking wrong to yourself.
You're thinking wrong to
you're
yourself.
You're thinking that Alabama didn't just happen.
Right, exactly.
You're yeah. thinking the wrong thoughts.
So but that yeah, is going to be delicious.
This going to be
also,
fun.
What does Trump do?
I know.
Because How's obviously...
Arpaio's his guy, but Kelly Arpaio's Ward, he's
guy.
Already endorsed.
He's already endorsed Kelly Ward, but you know that obviously, like... He's going to want to keep the Senate so he can do all the terrible things that he wants
right.
to do.
Well,
you know that yeah. Mitch McConnell is going to be, like I said, you know, praying against, hoping against
Let's
all hope that
be clear.
Martha McSally
Trump
wins.
Is not going to want to keep the Senate. He's going to want to
he
do what his
care.
Brain tells him to. His handlers are going to want to keep the Senate.
Right.
And so what I predict happening is a flurry of tweets at different times on different days and
right.
speeches and things.
He'll have
where
endorsed
he endorses
all
of
them.
Them.
By the, yeah. yeah, that's
He's
going
to endorse everyone.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry.
Well, he's already endorsed two of the three.
Exactly.
So
no,
all he needs to do is just only got one more left.
Right. And at some point, McConnell's going to come to him. It was like with the Luther Strange thing, for
right.
example. He obviously didn't want to do it. He felt mad about having to do it.
Right.
He'll go and
give a speech in favor of McSally where he'll talk about
how
great Kelly Ward and Joe Arpaio are.
Correct. Yeah. He is almost like going to create a weird equal playing field for all of them because he's going to lend his momentum to everyone at some point in the race.
Right, exactly.
And also he doesn't have any momentum because
well,
I guarantee
true.
That if this race was held
yeah.
again, he would not win Arizona.
I don't think he would either.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden made the classic blunder that old people make when they're trying to look relevant but talking about millennials.
Yeah.
Which is he
That they're
he
lazy
gave
people
the...
who should take a shower and get a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was talking to Pat Morrison from the LA Times because he's promoting a book, and he said, "The younger generation now tells me how tough things are. Give me a break. No, no, I have no empathy for it. Give me a break." Now, it's one thing if we were just complaining abstractly about how much we don't like working.
Right.
But because there is math to back us up that things actually are harder for us than other generations,
yeah.
it becomes a little bit more like he hasn't read the data and doesn't care.
Well, and that's the thing. And that is what actually sort of like, you know, I pulled this story from a Newsweek article.
Right.
And it wasn't an op-ed. It was like
it was a news article.
It was a news article. And I was heartened to see that they
acknowledged
and even said, I'll just read it to
yeah.
you because, you know, these are all facts that we have probably told you on this podcast before. But they said, whether Biden agrees or not, there is evidence to support the idea that millennials, the generation born between the early 80s and mid 90s, have inherited a slew of problems that have put them on an economic disadvantage compared to previous generations. And then they go on and they
yeah.
give, I
we're
won't read the whole thing.
We earn
it's long,
20%
but,
less than baby
yeah.
boomers, even though we're more likely to have advanced college degrees.
Right.
Healthcare, housing, and education are 5 times more expensive than they were just a few decades ago.
Yeah.
Student debt has skyrocketed. Homeownership. Completely
unrealistic.
I was just having a conversation today with someone about how I never even think about where I would look to own a home because I just assume I'll never own one.
This has been a thing that I have been telling anyone who will listen because the government is always behind on things like this, but I am 36 now and sort of I was recently looking at homes in a
right.
retirement community, which was
as
sort
an
of
investment
depressing
property
because I can't, obviously I'm not
right,
ready
right.
to retire. I would love to be,
right.
but I'm not. But you know, most mortgages are 30-year mortgages. And so I'm sort of at the point where I'm like, oh, shit, what am I just going to be, like, renting for the rest of my
yeah.
life? And I guarantee you every single other – well, not every single other person, but a large majority of people who are my age are having that thought right now. And that's going to be a real fucking crisis because
yeah.
we're not going to be working. And what are we going to – like,
exactly.
what
and
are we doing?
We're probably going to not have Social Security,
have
thanks to Paul Ryan, and we're
right.
not going to have health care. But
exactly.
it's, I assume – like, I don't even dream in terms of home – like, when
yeah.
I was a kid – I thought I loved real estate and I
yeah.
loved, you know, I loved architecture. So I loved
yeah.
real estate and I loved looking at real estate.
Yeah.
And I always thought how great it would be when I could have an apartment.
Yeah.
As soon as the sort of housing boom hit, I've never once thought to myself, oh,
yeah.
well, at some point I'll own a home.
Yeah.
It never
yeah.
even crosses my mind that I could own a home because it's so financially out of reach. And the places where it's not out of reach because there's not jobs for anyone with my skill set.
Right.
So like, like, could I maybe move to a town with a closed, you know, coal mine?
Yeah.
Sure, I could probably afford a house in one of those towns. Could I do anything in that town?
Yeah.
No, that's why the houses are cheap.
Yeah.
Like, the dream of home ownership, the relevant home ownership,
yeah,
is so far beyond my scope that I don't even dream of it anymore.
I know. Well, and, you know, the crisis facing millennials, which Joe Biden seems to not have any clue about, is very real now. But it's going to be a national crisis yeah. in the next 30 years.
Absolutely. Joe Biden
will be long dead, so maybe that's what he
the
cares about.
The one thing I will say about this is that Joe Biden is somebody who has his eyes on 2020,
yeah.
and Joe Biden doesn't realize that the biggest electoral block in 2020 is going to be millennials.
Yeah, he doesn't have very many facts about millennials.
No, none of them, it seems like.
If he knew how many of us there were, and that we actually are politically active.
Fairly engaged, all things considered, I would say.
He's probably maybe going to soon wish that he had not said that.
Correct.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I was just glad that it was...
That Newsweek provided the context after that.
Right, exactly, because I have obviously, like, personally read a lot of think pieces on the subject.
Right.
You know, but, like, you don't often sort of, like, see a news report with someone either denigrating millennials or whatever it is that references millennials, where they literally dig into all of the reasons why our lives are shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So, good work, Newsweek. Everybody else needs to join them. We're still early in the game of people acknowledging, but, like, you know, if it takes Joe Biden fucking things up, then
so be
great.
It.
So yeah. be it. Yeah, I mean...
But you can't.
I don't want him to be
you can't
anyway.
Use your cool sunglasses to cover up for the fact that you don't understand the crisis facing millennials.
No.
And because that is about to become an enormous crisis, you can't ignore it either.
No.
Like, I don't want to hear from someone who has their eye on running for president that they don't understand why we're complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
We are refighting the civil rights movement while we deal with these crises too. Like, we're not just dealing with these crises.
Well,
we are also refighting the women's movement. We're refighting the civil rights movement. This generation is doing a lot.
Well, and that's the other thing too, because he actually, I don't know that I pulled the exact quote, but they talked about that here, which is the reason why this article references the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter and Time's Up Now, because he was talking about how basically that what everybody did in the 60s where they fought the civil rights movement, he basically sort of like declared the civil rights movement over.
Solved.
In not so many words, but it's sort of like, you know, we fought for women's rights and we got it done. And we fought for all of these things. And like, we got that done. So like, that's why he was basically being like, your life is not hard, because like these things were solved for you by me, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of like,
okay, guy.
Get real, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
In any case.
He's out. Not going to win a Democrat. Never was going to win a Democrat.
I know people are still holding on to the Joe Biden hope because he's so charming looking.
Well, you know,
but we have to remember he's a Hyde Amendment guy. He's that kind of Democrat.
Exactly. But, I get why he wants to run, and I get why there is sort of like still
like
a certain
talk.
Sort of. And I also feel, I also completely understand why people feel a little bad for him, in the sense that he was probably iced out of this last election and probably would have won. I feel like we could be having a Joe Biden president
Definitely.
Joe Biden right now. So I think that he is probably hoping to cash in on some of that goodwill. But I think that by the time it comes for him,
he's not the right candidate for this moment.
I know he could appeal to
working class blue collar people, but that's not really what the issue is. The issue is that it's getting regular Democrats to show up.
It's certainly not going to be a candidate who declares that civil rights have been taken
solved.
Care of for everyone by his generation
Definitely
50
not.
Years ago. Like, that's not the, that's not the candidate we should be running.
Nope. In any case, in my favorite news story of the week,
obviously,
news broke at the Wall Street Journal broke this story, I believe,
which is
part amazing.
Of what's amazing about the story.
But apparently, Michael Cohen, who is one of Trump's lawyers, arranged an $130,000 payment to a former adult film star a month before the 2016 election. It was part of an agreement that was supposed to keep her quiet. We have a few pieces of information for you on that, including the fact that her name was Stormy Daniels.
Right.
Real name, Stephanie Clifford.
They had an affair in 2006.
They had an affair in 2006, which is after he married Melania.
Yes, 1 year after.
And
not long after Barron was born.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, she was busy child rearing, and
that's right.
he couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
But more importantly, $130,000 is pocket change yes. to these people.
Yeah.
Hold out for more.
That's right.
Jesus Christ, Stormy Daniels. What the hell is wrong with you?
We've been saying this.
$1.5 million high. Not fucking $200,000 high. Yeah.
We've been telling it to Democrats.
Yes.
For years, and now we're going to tell it to Stormy Daniels.
Go in high. Negotiation only works if you get to the middle of the thing that you absolutely want, not right? the thing that you would have accepted if you had to.
Right.
You can't go in asking for the very yeah. least you can muster because you'll get less.
That's right.
This is a basic negotiating tactic.
Yeah.
And what's so right. funny is our master art of the deal man is the only person on earth who doesn't know that besides the Democratic Party.
Right, exactly.
So you could go in high right. with him. He definitely won't understand what you're up to.
No.
$130,000
That's nothing.
Is nothing compared to the value of this story right. on the open market.
Yeah.
Think right. the value of the story on the open market
right.
is what you are using to base your settlement demands on.
That's right.
Just to give everyone a business lesson about.
Sure.
This story on the open market is worth, like, probably in the millions. So,
oh,
like,
yeah,
don't
sure.
fucking take this is giving everyone a bad name. I don't know right. who everyone is, but I'm just mad that this,
right.
that they think they can get away with peanut amounts sure. like this. They deserve yeah. to have this story right. broke.
Well, Stormy Daniels, my guess is probably not a genius.
No. Clearly
also,
not. She's a bad businesswoman.
I could see a world in where Stormy Daniels was maybe just immediately in need of $130,000.
Right. I could also see...
Much in the way that people go to pawn shops.
Right. I could also see a world in which Michael Cohen physically threatened Stormy Daniels to get her to take that low.
I also see that world. Yes. I see a lot of reasons that make sense for Stormy Daniels to just be accepting $130,000 right. on the spot to do nothing other than keep her mouth shut.
The thing is, guys, think long term.
Think bigger.
Think
yeah.
big.
Yeah.
You know? Donald Trump thought big. He thought, hey, I'll run for president. Now he's the fucking president. Like, you can hold out for a few mil.
That's right.
In this situation.
I agree.
In any case, that's yeah. my advice to all of you yeah. who are settling sexual harassment cases with Donald Trump right now.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Go bold.
Yeah.
If you're gonna keep your mouth shut, you're out there. We need
right.
a lot of you
yeah.
out there.
If you read the Wall Street Journal story and thought to yourself, ooh, I could get $130,000 out of Michael Cohen.
To yourself.
Think differently.
How could I get $2 million out that's of right. Michael Cohen?
Yeah.
Assuming, of course, that Donald Trump isn't actually broke. We don't know.
we'll
never know. In any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with
that's
what
right.
can only be more exciting news because every week is an adventure here in America.
It really is. Really, really is.
Yeah. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.